Gold One knows that your skin changes all the time. Like waking feeling hydrated, only to have dry skin after a walk on a cold day. Or having dull skin at work, to glowing skin for date night. People don't have one skin, they have skins. And Gold Bond Lotion's clinically proven formulas contain 7 nourishing moisturizers, plus 3 vitamins to help you take care of all of them for all your skins. Gold Bond. Visit goldbond.com to learn more.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to another episode of The Damage Report with me, John Adorola. And thanks to the fact that it is indisputably Monday morning, Francesca Fiorentini. Francesca, how's it going?
Good, just planning the revolution. So, you know, super chill.
Yeah.
Making a list, checking it twice, making sure, you know, all the misogynists get it one day. What?
Yeah, well, I just want to make sure that you finish making your list while women are still allowed to read and or write.
Oh yeah,
so I would finish that quickly, okay?
No, just in case. I'm hiding lots of clues. I'm hiding literature and reading textbooks around the house, kind of like a time capsule for my future kid.
You should carve some inspirational messages into the baseboard of your closet so that the next woman who lives there can find it someday.
Anyway,
fun news cycles here at the Damage Report. But anyway, that's what we've got. We're fresh off of Mother's Day, which we're gonna talk about in just a little bit. And you're fresh off of Sunday, the Bituation Day. What was going on in the Bituation Room?
Oh, it was so good. We talked all about Roe v. Wade being most likely overturned. And then city council member of Minneapolis, Robin Wansley, joined us. And she is actively trying to change the police department, i.e. defund it and create a public safety unit. And that got 44% of the vote recently. So she's awesome, open socialist. She's just, we're fired up. So you guys have to listen.
Nice. And I want to thank everyone for being here for the news. I do want to let you know that if you are listening on the podcast, there are a lot of benefits to that. You can easily listen while you're working out, you know, doing chores. That's how I consume podcasts. There are some negatives though, like you're missing what everyone in the chat is doing, which is mocking me for having trimmed my beard apparently too much. So normally what I do is every few years I shave fully and then gaze upon what I have wrought and regret the decision. So I decided I'm not gonna do that. I'm just gonna trim it really short. Turns out just as bad. So you're missing that if you're on the podcast. Apologies for that. Or maybe that's a benefit to you, I don't know. Anyway, I was saying on the pre-show, Francesca, what I like is that when I start wearing ties again or I trim my facial hair, I get to experience just a little bit of what it's like to live as a woman every day.
Yeah,
because everybody's got opinions.
Everyone wants to weigh in, but you do. You look kind of like a 15-year-old, just growing a beard for the first time.
There is 17. Hair to be clear.
No, I know.
There's not nothing. I don't know. I make a lot of bad decisions. There has never been anything about my appearance that has been intentional, whether it's good or bad.
Oh, just go back to that. What about that True North look? True North, true snack.
Huh? That cannot have been the look that you think works for me.
Oh, I thought it was great. I loved it. It was like, I don't know, you're like a gnome. You're like a Nordic gnome. And like that's cute in a way. Anyway, okay. I have opinions too.
Okay, you have opinions. Okay, well, I've set myself back by a couple weeks. And if I ever want to be a Nordic gnome again, I better buckle up. And you better buckle up because we are actually gonna talk about things other than hair and gnomes. We're gonna be talking about Mother's Day. We're gonna be talking about Roe v. Wade. We're gonna be talking about Russia. We're gonna be talking about dogs versus dolphins. You don't wanna miss it. We've got a meanwhile in to close out the show. So along the way, if you're on a platform that allows for things like liking the video, sharing the stream, feel free to do that. Those of you on a podcast are like, but I can't click like, there's no like. Yes, That's true, but you can rate and review the podcast, which is awesome for discoverability. And if you want to send us any tweets, comments, super chats, and all that, we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, Francesca, are you ready to do this thing?
Yes.
Okay, that was reluctant, but we're going to press on anyway. Let's do this. This weekend saw Mother's Day. It happens every year. And the other thing that happens every year is that Ben Shapiro tries to be funny with the exact same joke. And I don't know which is more pathetic, if he knows that he does this or if he doesn't. But this weekend he tweeted, "Happy primary caregiver of unspecified gender who decided not to terminate their pregnancy, which would have been totally morally fine and perhaps even praiseworthy day. TM." It's funny, you know, because he's mocking like gender identity and, you know, like having a language that isn't deeply rooted in the 1920s or whatever. Is that better or worse than previous times that he's done this joke? You can see here a nice block of the same joke spreading over. That's 4 years worth of this same joke. And then you can jump to here, you'll see an additional 3 years of that same exact joke. And I wanna thank Jules, who's awesome. He's been on the show many times, for compiling that. He did miss some, however. There's also this, where he wasn't satisfied back in 2014 to do it for Mother's Day. He also fit one in for Father's Day. And then I don't even know what was going on here last year with Happy Birthing Person's Day. And they have one joke. It's, hey, somebody identifies a way other than me. And someone responded to his most recent thing about that. 9Volt responded to one saying, "You guys have like one joke you tell over and over again." To which a conservative responded, "We have as many jokes as you have blank genders." To which 9Volt responded, "That's the same joke again," which I like. Francesca, you're the comedian though. Should the left be worried about the right's growing grasp on comedy?
Honestly, yeah. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Ben Shapiro is one of those people who tells the same joke over and over again. Usually comics, old hack, terrible jokes get stale and they don't get a laugh anymore and they become out of touch with the times. I think Ben Shapiro is doing the opposite. He's like reverse engineered a joke that eventually we will all be required to laugh at, you know, and be like, hey, your wife's pussy is normal. Like, you know, like whatever, you know, otherwise we get cattle prodded. Like, this is the future and he knows that. And so, I mean, and it's just, I gotta say, out of all days, and I'll go with you on this. We can talk about Shapiro, but I'm sick of talking about people like Ben Shapiro on days like today, on Mother's Day of all days, which by the way, was a day that was started by activists, anti-war activists who wanted to pay homage to their mothers and their community members who were actively working against things like poverty, against child poverty. I mean, like it is so much more. And then you got Ben Shapiro and that dude doesn't deserve anything. And that dude is also someone who, in this time when reproductive rights are being taken away from whatever unspecified egg producing gender, like it doesn't matter who it is. Do you believe in rights or not? Do you believe in freedom or not? Like, I don't even care. Do you believe in it? Do you? And he's someone who I think makes this anti-abortion argument in a really like legalistic, like, well, the Constitution, like an Alito way, right? Obviously an Alito way. And I just wish that these folks would come out and be like, no, I believe women should be second class citizens because my God told me to. That's more honest to me than making that BS constitutional argument.
Yeah, I think he sometimes tries to do that. I think he occasionally does like a wink and a nod to the fact that he's supposed to believe in limited government or law or whatever. But then you have all of these tweets, which are just, this is just hate mongering to the right wing with like a thick layer of, you know, religious dogma on top. And honestly, to say that he is so uncritically accepting of the religious dogma, the misinterpretation of, you know, Judeo-Christian views on abortion, because the right is dead wrong about what those original documents actually say about it. To say that he uncritically accepts that and that makes him incapable of thinking rationally about the world is, I think, extending him more goodwill than he deserves. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not even sure that that's really true. It's entirely possible that, like so much else, is just grift and he is merely cosplaying a person whose brain has been so beaten down by what they were taught when they were too young to you know, come up with counterpoints and all that. I don't know which it is. And I just know that
I think it's mommy issues. Oh my God. Like, can you imagine like him probably calling his mom on Mother's Day? Like, hello, unspecified gender egg producing human. And yeah. I wish you a unspecified gender happy day. And you're like, Ben, stop. It's just Ben, so I didn't bring you into the world for this. Please stop. Honey, stop it. Give it up. I don't care. Like, you know, like there's a lot of, there's just so many mommy issues.
Well, look, there's two last things we need to mention. One is I'm going to need you to, we're going to need to edit out your reference to the P word, because technically that's alluding to the medical condition that they're experiencing, and that's a violation of our HIPAA. So we're going to need to take that out. But secondly, though, the joke, in my view, should be on him for this. But the joke, I guess, is on humanity. Because if can you go back to that first compilation of the tweets where there's like five of them or whatever? Because you might notice if you look at that, and if you're on mobile, you won't be able to see it. He does this tweet every single year, and it gets thousands of retweets every single year. And so it's like what we always say, why would you put thought and time and attention or care into being funny or even witty or deep or thoughtful if you get all of the rewards that those things are supposed to bring without having to do it? There's an episode, I think, of Futurama. I think it was Futurama, where Bender wants to be like a famous comedian. And so there's like magic or something. And everything he says, the crowd goes wild for. Even though it's not funny, it's not a joke. They just all clap and cheer. And he gradually eventually realizes, well, this isn't what I wanted at all. But the grifters, this is what they want. They don't need to make their base think differently about something, widen their perspectives or anything. Like this works. Charlie Kirk will get 10,000 retweets on the next thing he tweets, no matter how stupid it is. And that is pathetic. And it's not just pathetic for them, it's pathetic for a broad base of Americans. More bad news for the Russian invading forces currently attempting to wipe out virtually every civilian inside of Ukraine. There's more updated reports that some soldiers on the Russian side are purposefully destroying their own equipment so that they don't have to engage with the Ukrainian forces with them. So in one regiment, and this is being reported on by the Daily Beast, one Russian soldier allegedly said that they'd been pouring sand into the fuel system of their tank to clog them up and make them unable to actually work, saying, I don't follow stupid orders, I simply refuse. The mother effers sent me to tanks, mother effing piece of S, I effed it up and that's it. I'm assuming that translates cleanly over. Maybe something is lost in the translation, but
mother effing piece of S needs to be a dragon name. Mother effing piece of S. Just a
mother
good
effing
dragon
piece
name.
Of S dragon.
I know we have another mother effing dragon, but mother effing piece of S.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can get a clogged fuel system dragon. Anyway, the Russian soldier that he was talking to on the line, he was communicating with another soldier, apparently heard that the unit wasn't punished for doing that, which seems to indicate that their commanding officers know that they're doing this. And anyway, he said that, maybe I'll do that with mine. Another Russian fighter shared with a family member that he and his comrades deliberately damaged their tank, which was at that point the last one in their regiment, so that their attack plan wouldn't be able to go forward, saying, we have one tank left in the regiment. In short, we broke our tank ourselves in the morning so as not to go. It's like calling in sick, but mid-invasion, Francesca.
I mean, yeah, it reminds me of what happened during Vietnam, right? The Vietnam War, where US soldiers, I think it was called fragging, is what it was when you basically like hazed your own general and your own officer by like locking him in his tent or like pouring some water on him or just like, you know, I mean, I'm not locking him in his car, but essentially like disobeying orders. Like, I think the Vietnam War like an 80s film, a John Waters film. But anyway, it was.
I believe the origin of the term is literally killing them with a grenade. So there's some plausible deniability.
Okay,
it's basically a mutiny where you murder your officer. But sure, locking in the car and you know, putting cellophane over the toilet so he gets pee on his pants.
Yeah,
same thing, really.
Putting his hand in warm water, all that.
Oh, they hate that.
But again, this is what happens when soldiers know they've been conscripted and enlisted to die in an unjust war that has no point, that is dragging on forever and ever. They see themselves being the bad guys in the "we are baddies" moment. And I guess the perks of getting to rape and pillage just don't really hit in the same way as they used to, considering once you kill people, they're no longer there. So good on these Russian soldiers. Again, Putin's been treating them like fodder. He's been treating his own civilians that way. He doesn't care, and suppressing any kind of dissent inside the country. So this is a natural conclusion. It's incredible to me that you would rather risk being punished by Russia, by Russian, you know, officers, yourself, then sort of march into certain death. And it also shows that potentially, you know, Ukraine might be getting the upper hand.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Reports like this have been coming out from fairly early on. You can see this is a little headline for back March 31st. So we're talking like 5 weeks ago. So this has been like occurring throughout. And it's not like they can afford to be having tanks like out of service because they're pouring sugar in the tank. Like they've lost, I believe, more than 500 tanks at this point, which is just to imagine that a military has 500 tanks is crazy. But that's how many they lost of their tanks, let alone any number of other aircraft, armored vehicles, and those sorts of things. One apparently shot down their own aircraft at some point. They've sabotaged other equipment. I wouldn't be surprised if they were sabotaging radio equipment so as to not receive orders that they don't want to then follow. They're also putting out information about, for instance, the comparison of their equipment. So we know that early on there was comparisons of the rations that were being sent into war in comparison to what the Ukrainians were eating. But there you see a comparison of the first aid kits. And look, there was an amazing breakdown that I read of one of the reasons why they're losing so many tanks and so many tank crews is there are different ways that you can structure the inside of a tank. And basically, I don't know what the benefits to the way the Russians do it is, but the consequence is that the ammunition is effectively stored in the same area where the crew of the tanker stored. So if you pierce into the crew compartment, the ammunition cooks off, it explodes and kills the crew. Whereas in Western tanks, it's a separate section that's walled off. Oh yeah, so now I remember. It's a little bit faster to reload when the ammunition is right there. If you have to open up a special hatch that's like pressure sealed, that's slower, but you don't necessarily lose the crew. And that's important because crews are harder to replace than tanks, assuming that you care about the fundamental humanity of your soldiers, even sort of a minimal amount. And the indisputable
good old capitalism. Capitalism won the Cold War.
Exactly.
I mean, there you go, right there.
Yeah.
Better tanks.
Anyway, it's always been clear that, you know, they don't care as much about their soldiers. And certainly there's a lot of that to go around in every military around the world, but it's seemingly worse for the Russians. And as they prepare to like do this big mobilization of more people who are gonna be even less excited to be involved in this war, now going into a war where they've already lost tons of people. These initial soldiers came in thinking that they had this thing locked down. Now you're gonna be having people conscripted, sent into a war that they're gonna be getting more and more information is not going well. We could see a rise in sabotage coming from that.
Yeah, I mean, this is the last thing I'll say is you can tell the people back home whatever you want to tell them, but the people who are really going to spread that message are the soldiers themselves who are coming back maimed and traumatized, and also understanding more than anyone. Again, just like we heard stories from our failed occupations of Afghanistan and Iraq, that it was like the soldiers would come back from the front line being like, I don't know what we're still doing there. Honestly, what is the mission anymore? And that is going to spread more so than, you know, than Putin's propaganda.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, well, with that, we are going to go to our first break. We come back though. Did you know the Supreme Court's going to be killing Roe v. Wade? Well, we've got some thoughts on that coming up after this. Okay, I'm hearing from the audience that there might be another show that did a version of what I alluded to with Bender. We'll talk about it. But in any event, we got some important stuff to get into. Let's start off with this.
You've just said that you believe life begins at conception. If there is legislation brought to you to ban contraception, would you sign it?
Well, I don't think that's going to happen in Mississippi. I'm sure they'll have those conversations in
but
other states.
But you're not answering the question.
As is always the case with things. Well, that's always the case. There's so many things that we can talk about.
Okay, so he was asked, I think, a fairly important and also fairly simple question there. That being Tate Reeves, who looks more like a Tate than any Tate ever will. He's the governor of Mississippi, just salivating over the prospect of abortion being made illegal. But they're already looking forward to what else they can do. Women very worried about things like contraception also being banned. A simple answer to the question would be great, and he doesn't provide it. Except that he sort of does, Francesca. Without saying as much, he clearly doesn't think it's a terrible idea. He clearly doesn't think it's beyond the pale. He's just moving on. There are many things we can talk about it. Making it so that if you buy condoms, you get locked up. That's just one of many topics we could transition into.
Oh yeah, I mean, we would only ban contraception that women use, but men, then that's their choice if they want to use a condom or not. That's up to them. I mean, this is just incredible to me, and it also shows you, I think, his hesitation shows you that actually Republicans are not as excited about this clear win for them as they are letting on. And that is because Roe v. Wade is insanely popular, and the majority of both Republicans and Democrats support it and support things like contraception, of course. And so they know they have to tiptoe around this, even though this is a coup for them. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, if you thought that this was going to be such a win, if you really thought this is so important, why aren't you touting it, right? Why aren't you talking about it? And so I think that is a clue that they are vulnerable. Seriously, I think we need to not throw in the towel here and be defeatist about the future of abortion rights. We have to go hard in the paint on it. And the last thing I'll say is with Jake Tapper, this is Jake Tapper, correct? Or is it
I believe that was Chuck
the
Todd,
other one.
Actually.
Chuck Todd, yeah. Jake Tapper with like
sort of, by the way, asking a follow-up. I think he heard the criticism from Trevor Noah at the White House press correspondence dinner.
But anyway,
that was Chuck Todd, I think.
Yeah, Chuck Todd. Well, I guess I feel like I think that what sometimes the media does is instead of sort of stopping people at the moment of like egregious human rights violation that they're in, they keep on asking about the next one. Yes, sure, to push back, but also a little bit. Remember with Trump's wall, it was like, so do you support building the wall? Like what, like 20 feet, 30 feet, 40, 50, no, 60, you know? And you kind of like, we get into this like, you know, this inertia of fascism that you're like, wait a minute, what are we talking about anymore? So I don't fully trust someone like Chuck Todd on this.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and look, I think that we need to be able to do both things. And I think I made this point potentially on the main show on Friday, it might've been TDR. It's that we kind of need to be simultaneously horrified about the moment we're in and vigilant against the horrible moments to come.
Yeah.
We can't just accept and normalize the devastation that, by the way, hasn't even been done yet with Roe v. Wade. We just have very good reason to believe that it will. We can't just normalize that and then say, oh, but what if they get rid of same-sex marriage? But we also can't ignore the fact that they want to get rid of same-sex marriage and all of these other things. So we have to do both. This block sort of more focused on the forward-looking thing, but don't you worry, Francesca. In a little bit, we're gonna transition to the fight to stop this from happening in the first place. This is mainly designed to counter what many in the right have been saying, I think demonstrating what Francesca is pointing out, that I wouldn't say that they're not excited about this moment. I think that they don't want to express that they're excited because they know that the numbers aren't on their side. And so they will continually yell at you. You might have experienced this on social media. You're being hysterical. Why are you talking about contraception and same-sex marriage and interracial marriage? We don't want anything more. And you've got Fox hosts saying, this isn't really gonna change anything. In some places it'll be legal and in some it's not. Why are you freaking out? Well, I wanna explain why some people are perhaps right to freak out. We're gonna go through a few of the things that have been being bandied about on the right, and they are going to get worse and worse and worse. First, here is Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson saying, well, in response to having previously signed an abortion ban with no exceptions for rape or incest, says, don't worry, my heart goes out to women who become pregnant as a result of rape or incest.
Oh, thoughts and prayers.
The power that I have. Exactly, thoughts and prayers. As you raise the product.
Sorry,
of
you got raped.
Exactly. Thoughts and prayers. So it's not just a ban. It's not, as the NRSC memo said, these are about reasonable restrictions. No, these are about the most radical restrictions that previously Republicans wouldn't have even hinted at 10 years ago. So you've got that. You've got, let's see. This is Jake Tapper in this case talking with Tate Reeve, saying, you're going to force women and girls who are victims of incest to carry the child to term. And he's like, yeah, no, we passed a bill back in 2007.
We've been done that.
Whatever. Yeah. It's done. And then there's so much more. We're just going to quickly dabble through these. Contributor Rebel HQ Max Burns tweeted out some of these things we've talked about on the show previously, like Arizona Senate candidate calling for a state ban on condoms. Marsha Blackburn calling for contraception bans, except for married couples. That's nice. You get married, then you get to not have a kid. I don't know. Mitch McConnell talking about a possible national abortion ban. We'll return to that. The GOP in Missouri debating a bill to ban women from traveling out of the state for abortion. So they're no longer satisfied ruling over their own territory. They get to rule over all other territories. Louisiana GOP declaring life begins at fertilization, which means it will count as murder if you have an abortion. Or the Tennessee GOP making it a law with a $50,000 fine to just receive abortion medication via the mail. So that's fun. It gets worse from here, Francesca. Do you want to jump in first and give me your thoughts before we go to even more dangerous territory?
I just think it's amazing that Republicans treat women like an Indiana Jones goblet that was removed from the house and removed from her duties baking. And since then, America's been cursed. You know, we lost all of our manufacturing jobs. There's climate change now, and all we gotta do is put the magic goblet back in the spot. You just take women and put them back in the house. And once they're under the control of men and safely, you know, under their spell, then everything starts to normalize. And Jesus comes back and we ride off on a unicorn. Like, this is, it's just so insane to me. What, who do they think we are? What do they think women are? Like, no, we just have to control them, and then everything's gonna be great. It's not gonna be great because of your asses. And once again, do we have to point out these are the same people who are not expanding Medicaid in their states. Let me explain. Under the ACA, even though it was a trash bill because it didn't have single payer options, they expanded the ACA Medicaid to say that 90% of states' Medicaid costs can be covered. What does that mean? Poor children, babies born, will be able to have free healthcare. And these same governors and legislators are the ones who are saying, no. We don't want free healthcare for babies, poor babies. I mean, that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know about them.
I think that the poor babies should have chosen not to be born poor, obviously.
Yeah.
And look, I think it is fairly clear that the Republicans know that people want that. They also seem to acknowledge that their pro-life credentials are a bit weak when they focus only on stopping women from having abortions and then don't give a damn about the kid, or either the fetus or the kid in terms of their health. They're not interested in funding either of those. Tate Reeves, in one of those interviews, said we need to reassure people that the resources will be there. And I think it was Jake Tapper was asking him, like, yeah, but isn't Mississippi like one of the worst states in terms of mortality rates at birth? And they don't provide any of that funding. And Tate Reeves has been in government at one level or another for like two decades. He has no record on this issue. Why would anyone trust him? Why would anyone trust any of them? This is about messaging, because although they have won thanks to the undemocratic nature of our system at so many different levels, they know that it's not popular and they want to keep their wins but not suffer electorally as a result of it. But anyway, let's get to a little bit more of what might be coming. In addition to Louisiana potentially locking women up for having an abortion, there's a primary going on in a GOP runoff in Texas right now where that's a debate. One candidate, State Representative Stephanie Click, said abolishing abortion is important, but I think we can do that without giving women the death penalty. And she had to say that because David Lowe is challenging her, isn't sure at this point whether they should literally execute a woman for having an abortion to prove how pro-life they are. So now that's two states politicians are talking about not just fining them or whatever, but literally executing them for exercising the rights they've had their entire lives. And in addition to that, as we alluded to, Mitch McConnell now openly talking about and totally blowing out of the water these arguments the right has been making that this isn't about us choosing for all women. This is about more democracy, sending it back to the states where the people can choose. No, it's not. Mitch McConnell says if the leaked opinion became the final opinion, legislative bodies, not only at the state level, but at the federal level, certainly could legislate in that area. He said it's worthy of debate. So yeah, it's possible. If and when the court makes a final decision, I expect everybody will be more definitive. But I don't think it's much secret where Senate Republicans stand on that issue.
As long as our Republican orgies remain able to get abortion access, that's fine. Because that AOC dominatrix has got me pregnant at least 5 times. Oh, and as much Jesus. As I want to have AOC's baby, because I do.
If you know my work, you know that I went to El Salvador to cover what happens when you actually criminalize abortion, mm-hmm. right? The rights of the unborn is in the constitution in that country. Women are serving 30-year sentences. This is longer sentences than rapists and murderers for an alleged abortion. Because a lot of them didn't know they were pregnant and miscarried. So it's not even that they have abortion, which should be decriminalized and legal anyway, but there's no actual way for especially lawmakers and judges to determine whether someone spontaneously had a miscarriage or whether they were having an abortion. And so I'll just say, if you're a healthcare worker out there, if you are a physician, anyone, like this is holy work. Like this, like going into the field of actually like providing abortions is really critical. And if you're a lawyer out there or thinking of becoming one, your work is needed. I'm sorry, but I think it's too late for me to go to med school and or law school, and I don't have the money. But that being said, youngins in the chat, who I'll help you out with your student debt, man, because we need you.
Joe Biden knows it's disgraceful. He's literally threatening the lives of these justices by the mob they're unleashing. It's the same thing we saw with Black Lives Matter and Antifa riots, where the left embraced them. And now they're embracing mob violence to get their partisan outcome.
Really, really disheartening.
That is Ted Cruz, of course, rolling out his I'm speaking like a tough guy voice that he does once every 2 years or so. He's very, very tough there, saying that Joe Biden is responsible for the mob violence we are seeing in protests being held, for instance, outside of the SCOTUS, outside of Brett Kavanaugh's house. Of course, Joe Biden has nothing to do with the protests, and as you'll see, doesn't even support them. And there's no violence. It's not a mob. It's a group of people chanting with signs. There's been no violence, but that isn't convenient to the right. And so in the same way that Ted Cruz is freaking out about what he's seeing, and by the way, it is good to see that there are some instances of mob violence that he can actually condemn, because you might recall that when asked to criticize the January 6th insurrectionists, he didn't have a problem with it. He didn't really mind that at all. But anyway, it isn't just him. Let's jump ahead to Steve Hilton of Fox News. He thinks that Biden is responsible too, and he actually wants consequences.
Now, as he brazenly incites mobs to disrupt the proceedings of the Supreme Court for partisan ends, yes, Biden should be impeached for that. And yes, he deserves the shame that will forever attach to his name.
Look, I have no doubt that he'll come out of his presidency with some shame attached to his name. We give you reasons to believe that every day. But again, he has nothing to do with the small, restrained, entirely peaceful protests that we're seeing. But that is in a Fox News now. Once again, they are the people that didn't have a problem with January 6th and have at the core of their ideology that free speech is the most important thing for our country, are losing their minds, Francesca, over some people like holding signs up outside of Kavanaugh's house and singing.
It's amazing to me that they would even invoke BLM. It's such a dead giveaway that all that outrage was also fake. Here you have a bunch of like mostly like white middle class, if not middle upper class, like protesters peacefully demonstrating around in a neighborhood saying, "We will not go back." And like, that's a riot. That's insane. That's insurrection. Like, yeah, no, now we know how you stand on everything else that happened 2 summers ago. It reminds me of the moment during the Women's March, if you remember, Bikers for Trump, the leader of Bikers for Trump, was going out to the Women's March to show these ladies what was up and sort of wave Trump's victory in everyone's faces. The dude was live streaming and just got like scared and afraid. It was like, I'm surrounded. Just grandmas and cats being like, please don't take away our civil rights and you're surrounded. I love that. They're so terrible. Just the boogeyman thing. It's the meme. It's the meme of setting up your little like Halloween, haunted house where the left is insane and crazy. And that's like, who are we to spoil that for them?
Yeah, that's true. Heads up to the director. I'm gonna jump ahead to the fourth video. We'll return to the third, because this is gonna prove an interesting point. They're racing to Fox News to freak out about the incredibly restrained protests that are going on. Some are like, they don't get that they're supposed to be vague. Like, they're actually highlighting how ridiculous they're being. Liz Wheeler tweeted out, "Mobs of angry leftists outside Kavanaugh's house. Man, imagine how scared his young daughters must be. That is what the left, that's why the left is doing this, to scare Kavanaugh into fearing for his family so badly. Caves of the rabid pro-abortion left. The left is evil." And you can see in that video. Now, obviously, we on the left are terrified of the video evidence she's providing of how this is unacceptable. Well, let's play a little bit of that video. Like,
those are weapons.
It's a couple dozen people just standing there. They're not breaking down the door. This is what a protest is. That's all that is. That's what she attached to her tweet as proof that they're freaking out. And the issue is that some people who in the mainstream media aren't identified as being on the right, like people formerly of like the Clinton administration, the Biden administration, or the Obama administration, are like, oh my God, they're right. This is not the way. Intimidation can't be allowed. And they're looking at that and thinking, no, in this moment where the right is stripping away like fundamental rights from tens, over 100, 150 million Americans, this is too far. You're the radicals. And like, this is what happens on our side. It's all about being terrified of sending the wrong message, even though they're being as peaceful. Like, imagine if the January 6th people were that. We wouldn't be talking about January 6th. It would be a random date like any other if that is how they had acted, Francesca.
I mean, let's give them something to be scared about, honestly. There need to be more people outside of Kavanaugh's home. And this weekend, March 14th, I think there's gonna be a lot of protests in cities across the country. I think there should be a lot more people there. Of course, our protests are never that scary. And the mother of Heather Heyer would want a word with some of the people claiming that the left is violent. I don't see any white nationalists mowing down protesters. No, because the left doesn't do that stuff, all right? That is reserved for the far right. And we are being told not to believe all the things we've witnessed over the last 4 or 5 years. But we're not to believe our eyes and to have no memory, to have the memory of a gnat. We don't have that memory. In fact, I'm old enough to remember when we all knew this was gonna happen and Trump's three appointees were going to overturn Roe v. Wade. So rubber is hitting the road. And if Democrats aren't gonna lead us, then honestly, we just have the people to rely on.
Exactly, yeah. These protests should be much bigger. Again, peaceful, and that is what they are. And you talk about the gnat memory. So some of you might be able to remember when the Supreme Court decided that there did not need to be a buffer zone around Planned Parenthood and places like that, that fundamentally the right to protest is more important than the safety of the women being harassed and stuff. So you get to be right up against there and protest. But that's not a sacred place. The House of Kavanaugh, that's a sacred place. Don't some people, 9 of them specifically, deserve a right to privacy? That's foundational. That's sacred right there. It's ridiculous, obviously. There's no violence. But again, the right freaks out and then everybody caves. Jen Psaki eventually put out this tweet. POTUS strongly believes in the constitutional right to protest, but that should never include violence, threats, or vandalism. Judges perform an incredibly important function in our society, and they must be able to do their jobs without concern for their personal safety. Now, nothing in that is
trash,
terrible, but
trash.
It's entirely playing into the narrative of the right. That's not what is happening at these protests, but you're pretending that it is. You're doing their work for them. You're being the press secretary for the anti-abortion right there.
Yes. I'm sorry, but if there was any more evidence to show that the Biden administration is trash on this issue and on so many issues and caves to the right time and time and time again, that tweet. Bye, Jen. Bye. Go enjoy your job at MSNBC, girl. Like, see ya. Goodbye. Right? And I'm not saying that this kind of mealy mouth crap is not going to continue, but that is what I'm saying, man. In this country, I wish we had an opposition party, man. I wish the demons in Steve Bannon's head were actually real. I wish we had people standing up for the right to actually there is nothing. I mean, this is insane. It is insane. If you're not angry now, if you're not going to stand up for people now, when will you ever do it? And the answer is, they won't.
Hey, they're fundraising, Francesca, vigorously.
I can't.
Anyway,
she's such trash.
That said,
done.
The whole thing is terrible. Anyway, with that said, we are going to transition into our second break of the hour. When we come back, though, remember those math textbooks in Florida that were teaching kids CRT? Maybe not so much. We'll break it down after this. Okay, about to get real dumb up in here. Let's jump into this.
We're not going to let them inject ideology into things like math books.
Right.
So the Florida Department of Education flagged a lot of this, sent it back to the publishers. You know, a lot of the media was like crying, like saying they're like, oh, you know, you're banning these. No, we're not banning them. We're going to do textbooks that suit our thing. But what happened is these textbook companies had to take the nonsense out of the math books.
Okay, so they just weren't going to allow tons of mathematics textbooks because of all the critical race theory that was in there. That is what he would have you believe. He would also have you believe that the free speech king of the free speech party, thinks that people who think that government's banning books is bad, they're just crying. That is how serious their commitment to free speech actually is. But this is more ridiculous than even that, because when we heard that they were going to be rejecting all these mathematics textbooks for a CRT, a lot of reasonable people thought, really? Is there critical race theory in there? And now there's been an analysis, and it turns out, no. They rejected 41% of the proposed mathematics textbooks. But what was actually in them? Well, there's been 3 weeks of education officials in the Department of Education in Florida analyzing about 6,000 pages of these books. And what they found is that overwhelmingly the books had avoided forbidden topics. Just a reminder, the free speech capital of the world, Florida, has forbidden topics for school books. That's fun. Anyway, they didn't have critical race theory or social emotional learning. One reviewer wrote, it's a math textbook. I found no evidence of any instruction or indoctrination of social issues. And Judd Legum, who's been on the show multiple times, has a great breakdown of some of the stats in this. They found that reviewers were supposed to evaluate different criteria on a scale of 1 to 5 for each of these books. What Florida did was anything less than a 5 on the CRT category meant that the textbook contained CRT, even if the reviewer explicitly says there's no CRT. And here's an example of that. Right here, under the criteria, do materials align to rule 6A-1.094124, which, by the way, again, great sign for free speech when you have like bureaucratic nonsense like that to detect critical race theory. They gave it a 4, but says there's no CRT evident. They classified that as CRT. This is a indoctrination textbook for CRT. And there's a lot more, Francesca, but I mean, initially, we knew that this was going to be the case.
That's some fuzzy math, to quote an old war criminal. Anything less than a 5 has CRT? I don't understand that. Is this the whole like when you give yourself a 5 on a review and your employer's like, nobody gets a 5, and you're like, I get a 5. All right.
Yeah.
That happened to anyone else but me?
I don't.
Like,
really,
I'm worthy of a 5. I don't understand that. They're just like, no, you gotta find CRT in this somehow, somewhere.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, they did a ridiculous thing in rejecting so many of these books, but it's only ridiculous to those who will ever hear about like the ridiculous parts of it. Initially, the idea that banning all these books is somehow consistent with a party that is opposed to cancel culture makes no sense, but they'll never have that reality revealed to them. It'll never be discussed on Fox News or whatever. And DeSantis can just reject a bunch of the books, which then becomes proof that he needs to do this. Because all the headlines will say they rejected 41% of the books. Every conservative will think, oh, well, they were justified in doing so. Look at how crazy these books are. And when it inevitably comes out that there wasn't CRT in them, they will never hear about that. This video, we're giving you the numbers. Well, how many conservatives do you think are watching as I'm saying this right now? They will never know this. It is very convenient. Now, if you are a conservative and you're watching this, you might be wondering, well, why would they do that? Because he doesn't care about you and he has no respect for you. He thinks that you're a dumb mark and he can pull one over on you. Mm-hmm. That's what he's trying to do. And even
he doesn't want your kids to learn math.
Exactly. He doesn't care.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So what the books that were flagged for something, what were they flagged for? So one book was flagged for a statement that read, "The United States has eradicated neither poverty nor racism." The reviewer said, "Emphasis that racism is embedded in American society contains critical race theory, which is prohibited in 6A1.094124. That's not critical race theory. It's an objective truth. Look around you. Have we eradicated poverty? Have we eradicated racism? You may not like having to think about it. That might make it an inconvenient truth, but it is indisputably a truth, and it is not critical race theory." One reviewer had a problem with thinking mathematically, because on the first page, apparently, the author mentioned global warming and the climate crisis. And that talks about a climate crisis as if it's a proven fact. Critical race theory, I guess.
Yep. Critical climate like theory. So.
Critical carbon theory.
There you go. Here's the thing, and I'm sure you've talked about it on this show, but it is important to know that the only textbooks that are left in Florida is a textbook from a company called Accelerate Learning. And Accelerate Learning was bought by the Carlyle Group, where Glenn Youngkin, governor now of Virginia, used to be the head of. And so all of this is essentially also a money-making scheme. It is not about critical race theory. It is not about this phantom idea that math books are making kids woke. It is to make one particular textbook company insanely rich. It's the same way that the DeVos family decided to try and privatize more and more schools, and that was her role as part of the Department of Education, because her whole family is invested in the charter school system. Her whole family is invested in that grift. So again, if you are a conservative, understand that this is all about, not about the culture war grift, it is about making money.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and also for them politically, it is convenient. Again, DeSantis can faint at every written word he sees declaring that there's CRT there. And that again will not be evidence to the right that he is ridiculous or censorious. It'll be a demonstration that yes, everywhere you look, there is CRT. That is what they will take away from that. It's convenient for them. Look at some of the stuff that they had an issue with. This is a math textbook. This was identified as teaching social emotional learning, which they say leads, like marijuana does to heroin, this leads to CRT. They didn't like that, like Newton and Descartes are dogs. And like, is it because the dogs are thinking?
I mean,
I have
clearly,
no idea what the issue is there, but had a problem with that.
They're clearly in a homosexual relationship. Anyone can see that from that cartoon.
Did you find the fan art that I did? Anyway, so they had an issue with that. By the way, there was one of the sections of one of these books that was identified as teaching CRT specifically. It was Stats Modeling the World. It apparently included discussions about racial profiling, discrimination in magnet school admissions, and the racial demographics of the New York City Police Department not matching the communities. Obviously, they have the facts on their side in those. Like, we don't need to adjudicate all of it. But they said that all of these may violate the rules, prohibitions against about racism being embedded in society and legal systems, and or that race is the most important factor in considering an aspect of society, which again, none of those things are claiming that race is the most important factor. And the idea that, again, free speech, but you cannot try to make the case that racism is important. But again, the person who complained about CRT in that case is a member of Moms for Liberty, which is a group that is trying to ban biographies of Martin Luther King Jr. in Tennessee because they think that is also teaching critical race theory. So they put these
Yeah, we did civil rights and now we don't have to learn about civil rights. That's why we did them. It's over. Here's the thing about, last thing I'll say.
Super fast.
For some people, it seems weird that these examples are being used in math books, but I would argue that math, you have to use language that people care about and are interested in. And if you talk about crime stats or you talk about policing, you talk about like racism, kids are interested in that stuff and it helps them learn. Yes.
Well, unfortunately, that is all the time we have for our first hour. If you're listening on the podcast or on linear platforms, thank you so much for sticking with us. If you're on Twitch, YouTube, or the Members app, or a bunch of other places, we do have more to get to. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few. Claude Murray, welcome to Tier 2 membership. Thank you for being here. By the way, at Tier 2, you get access to our weekly top 10 list. And this week, we're doing a very serious, substantive political top 10 list. Top 10 things that let you immediately know that someone's a big old jerk. Just gonna be a fun little chatty one. We're gonna be recording that and releasing it later on today. I like chatting with Francesca. Albino bad guy said in a super chat, a different point of view. Why are we forcing men to pay child support, companies to pay more for maternity leave, and taxpayers to pay more for military women to have children? Please pass this to Anna. I will see what I can do. We will see. Thank you for being here. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.